how your day was? You had a good day today?
I don't know what you're happy for. It's gonna be a damn dark Christmas this year.
What you mean?
It's gonna be a damn, man, these phones let me go, man.
What you mean? They didn't fire you?
Man, these phones let me damn go.
What did you do?
Look, for one, I sat there and told you. I didn't have no spirit. You still push me up to allow my damn application.
I ain't about to allow your application.
You told me I better do what I got to do to get this damn.
Well, that's right.
I know how to drive a damn forklift.
I told you to go on YouTube and watch the videos and stuff.
They ain't no good videos. Now, anyway, I didn't get on the damn forklift. I started off all right. But I got too damn excited.
And what happened?
Man, I tore them four shit up in there, man. I done knocked the whole damn shell, everything down in there.
And so they fired you.
Man, they about to call the damn loan. I done caused so much damage in them four shops.
This don't make no sense. So what are we supposed to do now?
Shit, it's gonna be a dark criminal this year.
So ain't nobody getting that.
Ain't nobody getting none of this damn year.
Ain't no bills getting paid either.
We got to damn get some extensions or something.
Yeah, it's the real Riders from the Riders Live Podcast. Tapping in to Queen and King Germ with the best show on the planet, Brocast.
Good evening, motherfuckers and motherfuckers. This your boy Young Dolomite from the Too Much Game Podcast. On here with my nigga, my motherfucking man, the most electrifying motherfucking podcast, and King Germ from Frocast. Y'all get a bar of that good shit.
So much to you. Explain a little bit on how it is turning the page for you.
I ain't even gonna lie to you, bro. I don't fuck with you, bro. I don't fuck with you. You be talking too much shit about me on Twitter, bro. And I'm gonna let you get
me?
Yeah, you bitch ass nigga. I'm gonna let you know.
Yeah. Kevin, you talked about the
it's gang, gang. If I don't fuck with you, they don't fuck with you.
Well, I think it's their choice, isn't it?
Man, gang, gang. You know what that means? Gang, gang. Take the L out of lover. It's over, brother.
Yo. This is Papa Dash Soul, and you are now listening to my favorite show, The Frocast. Keep up the excellent work. Take it away.
Hey, what up? It's Killer Mike checking in to NappyAfro.com. Make sure you keep it 100. One sound rap game, bang, bang, bang. Run the jewels on food, and I'm gone. Yeah.
NappyAfro.com.
You're now tuned into the longest running podcast on the Nappy Afro Network. This is the Frocast. I'm your host, King Germ, a.k.a. the People's Champion, a.k.a. the most electrifying motherfucking podcast today, a.k.a. the next door neighbor of Danny Tanner, a.k.a. LeBron Flames, a.k.a. the King of the Lames, a.k.a. the illegitimate son of Carl Weathers, a.k.a. Hacksaw Jim Thuggin, a.k.a. Germ Cena, a.k.a. Pod Strickland, a.k.a. Fat Sajak, a.k.a. the Brooks Bandit, a.k.a. Mr. Sensible Shoes, a.k.a. Bill Goldberg in the bedroom, a.k.a. Smoking Germ Frazier, a.k.a. the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, a.k.a. Bread DBIC, a.k.a. Rowdy Potty Piper, a.k.a. you can't fit this hustle inside of a rapper, and my last a.k.a. Ravishing Rick Rude. Now cut the music. What I'd like to have right now is for all you in-between podcasts, podcasters, inconsistent podcasters, and running from team to team as podcasters. Keep the noise down while I take my robe off. Show y'all what a real podcast sounds like. Now hit the music. Now joined by my lovely co-host, the elegant, the daunting, the always be shopping, the problematic yet well-spoken, Queen Germ. Queen Germ, say what's up to the people.
What's up, people? It's your girl, Queen Germ, a.k.a. Miss Savannah, a.k.a. I'm educated yet ignorant, a.k.a. the queen of QVC, a.k.a. bipolar mom, a.k.a. I hear no one, a.k.a. $3 is $3, a.k.a. my cups runneth over, a.k.a. a lot of crass with a dab of class, a.k.a. my afro is my halo, and my favorite a.k.a. of them all, your grade is your motherfucking grade, and I'm in the building.
Queen Germ's in the building, everybody. Like always, don't forget to rate, subscribe, download the Frocast. Hey, Frocast listeners that listen on Spotify, I need y'all all to do me a solid favor. They now have a rating system on Spotify, so could you go to the Frocast on your Spotify listener? It's a little rating button right there. Give us a rating. whatever you feel, we'll be fair. You know, it should be 5 stars because, you know what I'm saying, ain't nobody out there doing what we doing. But it should be 5. But, you know, I don't want to pander for the 5, but give us, you know, 5s will be respected, all right? So please do that on Spotify. Rate us on Spotify. We also have a voicemail you can call in at 347-201-2572. Leave voicemail. We'll play it on the show. We also have a Patreon we can join for as little as a dollar. Get behind-the-scenes exclusive content. Get shout out on the show like our latest Patreon, Dean. So shout out to Dean. Thank you for coming to Patreon. And you could be just like Dean and get shout out on the show by giving up that dough. And if option A, B, or C did not tickle your fancy, there is option D. And what is option D? That is retweet it, reblog it, add it to your story, tag us and say a story. And we'll shout you out like Ruling Myself, like Rick James, bitch, like Short T, like 12 Cal, like Uncle Dolomite, like who else did it, man? Whole lot of people showing us love. Life Unplugged, Conversation with Lamp, whole lot of people showing love. I mean, you know, we appreciate that because sharing is caring. Now, all the panders out of the way, Queen Germ, how was your week?
My week was pretty good. Getting the last couple of Christmas gifts for the people, the little people. Well, they're not so little anymore. But, yeah, wrapping all of that up. So I'm excited, trying to stay in the best of spirits because I don't get to go home this time. So trying to focus on the fact
that... It's not my fault, people.
It is.
It's not my fault.
It is.
It's not my fault.
But we...
She don't want to blame who fault it is.
But it's never going to be his fault.
But look,
it's never going to be his fault.
I take the blame.
Yeah.
She don't want to tell who blame it is.
And it ain't, because if you really wanted to go, we could go when he get off on Friday and come back Saturday night. But that ain't what you want to do. We did
it. Go Friday, come back Saturday night.
He gets off at 2 o'clock on Christmas Eve.
So we get there at 6, 7 o'clock.
And then we can stay all day on Christmas and come back Christmas night. But that ain't what you want to do, so don't do all that. But it's all good. I've committed to the staying here. I'm going to meet my sister next week in Jacksonville so we can just hang exchange the gifts and stuff.
That's what's up.
And we'll chill and I'll come on back.
See?
So it is what it is.
Oh, as far as my week was fucking awesome. I went and saw Spider-Man. I don't know if I used the word right, but I went in to see Spider-Man. And I have to say, that movie was amazing. I was on such a high leaving it. It's good when you go to a movie and you enjoy the movie and the movie felt like that was a good experience type. You saw a good movie, had a good time. It lived up to the hype. It did that. It lived up to the hype so much that I came home and started looking at all these little videos, and I got caught into a YouTube spider hole about all the different Easter eggs in the movie and why this happened and who this person was and look out for this and yada yada, all kinds of different things, because I saw the movies, but I didn't really nerd out to the movies like that. But I damn nerded out last night about this damn Spider-Man movie, and it was pretty damn good. Because first of all, Spider-Man is my favorite fucking superhero. You know what I'm saying? Always has been. And I like how they did what they did. I'm not going to spoil it because I'm not that guy. Because I avoided the spoilers until I saw it. But you niggas got a couple more days, nigga. If you ain't seen it by next week, man, nigga might just start saying little shit. No, I'm not, because I don't have nobody nerd out with it. But funny story, I'm going to the movies with my daughter and one of her homegirls. On the way to the movies, I was like, yo, I asked my daughter, like, you excited about seeing Spider-Man? She was like, I said, have you ever seen any Spider-Man? She was like, no. I think I seen the one where he got bit at school on the hand. I was like, that was like the first one. She was like, yes. I was like, you seen Infinity War? She was like, no. I said, Endgame? She said, no. I said, Captain America? She said, no. She said, I mean, only when I'm walking through the room and her brother watching it, that's all the thing I saw. And I was like, oh my God. I said, so you have no clue what's going on. She said, no, but I saw it on Twitter and it looked interesting. So,
I mean, she told me when she came back the movie was good. So
yeah, I hope it intrigues her to watch more. That's pretty good. So yeah, so that was my week, man. Yeah, that was about it. Also happened this week. So we're in a little fantasy football league. And when I say little, I didn't mean it to know a bad thing, because I think we have one of the most competitive fantasy leagues there are. Right. So this matchup, I was the 6th seed. I struggled to get in the playoffs. I barely won. Thank God GQ Blue didn't set his lineup in the last week because I might not would have made it. But GQ didn't set his fucking lineup. So I make it to the playoffs. And who do I have to play in the first round? Nobody but Queen Germ.
That's right.
And let me tell y'all a little story about Queen Germ. Queen Germ is the highest scoring team in the league, right? She scored more. She averaged about 160 points a game. I, on the other hand, am not one of the highest scoring teams in the league. I'm near the mid to the bottom of scoring. You know, I'm about 130 a game. So, on paper, it's a blowout.
Here we go.
It's a blowout on paper. So, the matchup kicks off. You know what I'm saying? You know, she jumps out with a quick 20 from Keenan Allen. You know, I'm not feeling good because I was like, I needed him to have a bad game. Then she jumps out there with some points from another nigga. She just pointed me, Jonathan Taylor or something, get her like 20,
my job,
like 25. Then Sunday come, and it just, you know, I feel like I had a chance because I was only down like 20 or some shit, like 10 or 20. And I had two people going. I had my kicker in the defense going, and she had Cooper Kupp and who else was going for you? I think it was Cooper Kupp and somebody, I can't remember. But that motherfucking Cooper Kupp got about damn 30-some motherfucking points last night. Queen Germ ended up with about damn 180-some points last night to my measly, like, 1-something, 117. It was disgusting. So I'm out to playoffs, first round. Queen Germ bounced me. She's in the Final Four. She's trying to avenge her last season second place finish. She lost by like a point or two. It was like 1 or 2 points. It was real close.
Yeah.
So she's out for she's out for revenge this year. So
feelings is hurt.
Yeah. Look out for anybody playing her, man, because she a tough out. She got a fucking loaded roster, man. Loaded motherfucker. No, she had Jalen Hurts and Cooper Kupp going last night. That's who all them damn points them motherfuckers gave her. Oh my God, blew that shit wide the fuck open. Woo.
Yeah, we gotta see this thing through this time.
Yeah. So, yeah, but other than that, man, so congratulations, Queen Germ. She beat me, put me out the playoffs, took me out of my misery. My 2021 fantasy football season is now over.
Yep.
Better luck next time, King Germ.
Yeah, better luck next time.
So you had a bad day.
Oh, God. Okay, sir.
You stand around. That was me, man. Had a bad day. But, hey, man, let me learn. I don't call them L's. I call them lessons.
Okay.
Well, Queen Germ, since it's Christmas Eve, when you're hearing this, some of y'all hearing this, it might be Christmas Day. It depends on which day you listen to the Frocast. But Christmas Eve is here. It's Christmas time. And I got to know, have you heard any other celebrations of Christmas around the world?
I mean, they're not celebrating Christmas, but it's during this time when you got Kwanzaa and...
I'm glad you brought up Kwanzaa. Did you do any research?
Kwanzaa starts the day after Christmas.
Kwanzaa starts the day after Christmas?
And so, it goes into the New Year's Eve.
So them people can actually piggyback off of Christmas.
Yes, they want to have Christmas and Kwanzaa. I mean, you know, that's how that goes.
Let's see. Find out how Christmas traditions and how Christmas is celebrated in lots of different countries and cultures around the world.
And it's actually from the day after Christmas to Christmas, till the first day of the new year, so till January 1.
So it's from December 26th to so it's from the day after Christmas to January 1st is Kwanzaa.
So that encompasses the whole week after Christmas. So now you can have a celebration, and now you got something to call it. And it's a good thing.
So it's a week-long celebration held in the United States that honors African heritage and African-American culture. Kwanzaa is observed from, like she said, December 26th to January 1st, and culminates in gift-giving and a big feast. Let's see some what happens at Kwanzaa. I need to know.
Well, first of all, you have 7 main principles of Kwanzaa.
Okay, there are.
And I'm not going to mess up these words, but I know what they mean. So there's unity.
Hold on. Is this the symbols?
It's the principles. Umoja is unity. Umoja.
Okay, Umoja.
And then you have self-determination. And I'm not playing with that word. It's too many letters for my liking.
So we look. Okay, so we got, Kujichagulia.
Like I said.
Gulia. Ujima, Ujamaa, and Nia.
And you got
Kumba.
And Imani. Yeah.
That's faith. Creativity. Okay, let's see. What's the rules of Kwanzaa? Okay, so the principles, like you said, each of the 7 days of Kwanzaa is dedicated to one of the principles as follows. Okay, so you got unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics. So let me start that over. Umoja is to strive for and to maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Self-determination is to define and name ourselves, as well as to create and speak for ourselves. Collective work and responsibility, to build and maintain our community together and make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and to solve them together. Cooperative economics, to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses and to profit from them together. Man, hold up. I agree with this shit.
Oh, okay. So now you don't have to sit here and make fun of the people.
I've been shitting on Kwanzaa, and this is right in line. This is right in line with my beliefs for the black people. Damn, we should be bigging this up instead of Christmas. I think we own this, man. Hey, bruh. Creativity or purpose, to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. Wow. Nigga, no wonder they keep... Bruh, they don't want to study doing Kwanzaa. They want to brainwash like I was until just now. Nigga. Creativity, to do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. Are you fucking sick? Imani, faith, to believe with all our hearts in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. Come on, man. Come on, man.
You should be able to.
I don't see nothing wrong with that right there.
You ain't see nothing to say God in it, so I know you excited.
I mean, because it's all about, see what I'm saying? Man, Kwanzaa celebratory symbols include a mat on which other symbols are placed. You got the candle holder. It's called a kanara. I don't want to butcher the language, so I'm just going to say what it is. So it's a candle holder for 7 candlesticks. You got a mashuma saba. That's 7 candles. A mazao. That's crops. Mahindi. That's corn to represent the children celebrating. And the corn may be part of the holiday meal. A kiyombe cha umoja, that's a unity cup for commemorating and giving shukrani, that's thanks to the African ancestors. And zawadi, that's gifts. Oh, okay. Supplemental representations include a poster, a Nguzu Saba poster, a black, red, and green bendera, that's the flag, and African books and artworks, all to represent values and concepts reflective of the African culture and contribution to community building and reinforcements. Wow.
Yeah.
So, black people, we need to get on board. Let's see some things they do at the Kwanzaa parties, man, because I'm enlightened now. So
you want to have one?
I mean, it's not maybe late. Maybe not this year. We might jump on the train.
The 26th is the day after Christmas. We'll all be together.
I don't want to fake the funk. I got to do more research first, okay? Let's do. We shoot for 2022. We do Kwanzaa around here and shit, right? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you around here on the Spider-Man thing. I'm sure in 3 days you'll have it together.
So they say families celebrating Kwanzaa decorate their households with objects of art, colorful African cloth such as kente, especially the wearing of caftans by women, and fresh fruits that represent African idealism. It is customary to include children in Kwanzaa ceremonies and to give respect and gratitude to ancestors. Libations are shared generally with a common chalice. We can't do that because of COVID, okay? We can't drink out the same bottle, y'all, okay? The Kiyoke Cha Emoja passed around to all celebrants. That could be weed. Modify these Kwanzaa rules.
Oh,
you know, since we're going to pass some shit around, blunt around. Yeah. Non-African Americans also celebrate Kwanzaa. The holiday greeting is Joyous Kwanzaa. So the ceremony may include drumming, musical selections, libations, reading of the African pledge and principles of blackness, reflection on the Pan-African colors, a discussion of the African principle of the day, or a chapter in African history, a candle lighting ritual, artistic performance, and finally, a feast of faith. The greeting for each day of Kwanzaa is Habari Gani. I do remember that from when my daughter and them had a little thing, which is Swahili for how are you. Okay, so I want to know, what is a Kwanzaa meal? Since you know I'm all about the food over here, what do you eat on Kwanzaa? A Kwanzaa meal. Let's see what they eat on Kwanzaa. How African is it? Oh, main dishes are always the highlight of dinner for your Kwanzaa meal. Try African Creole, Cajun catfish, jerk chicken, ground nut stew, a tasty dish from West Africa. For your side, we got many traditional Kwanzaa recipes, including jollof rice, collard greens, Kwanzaa slaw, grits, beans and rice, and okra. What the fuck? I mean, what kind of meat you eating? Nigga, I ain't heard no meat. Well, I guess jerk chicken and catfish.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess that covers it all. So, yeah. So, that's the Kwanzaa.
That's the Kwanzaa.
We did our homework. We said we was going to do it. Y'all can't say it. We not shitting on Kwanzaa no more, because that idea sounds pretty good. I know you wasn't. I was, because I was averse to it. I was brainwashed by the white man thinking that.
This, really?
Thinking Christmas was better than Kwanzaa. Really had me shitting on Kwanzaa.
Is if you buy your gifts after Christmas, the shit is on sale.
You don't get no gifts for Kwanzaa.
Yes, you do.
You get fruit. You get fruit.
No, January 1st, you
no,
get
No, you get nothing. You don't get no. You nah, didn't it's read all that. About
gift
unity.
Exchanges on January
your,
1st.
Your win is the community doing better. Yo, everybody prospering. That's your gift.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a gift exchange.
Yeah, so we're going to do Kwanzaa around, because you don't get no gifts in Kwanzaa. So we're going to do Kwanzaa next year.
But we're going to do Christmas on the 25th.
Oh, no. We doing Kwanzaa. We going all out Kwanzaa.
No.
We're not celebrating the white man holiday. No. We ain't doing it, girl.
Whatever you say.
Speaking of Christmas, I got to know, what's your favorite Christmas movie? If you could pick any Christmas movie to watch on Christmas Day, what movie is that?
My favorite Christmas movie?
Yeah.
I have a favorite Christmas song. I could watch all of them.
I asked you about the movie. I'm going to ask you about your song next, please. Stay on task, Queen Germ. Stay on task. What you gotta do.
Favorite Christmas movie, if I had to say one, I guess it would be Polar Express, because we watched it a lot. Every time I see it, I just think about being a little kid. When we got to have the last day or two before the break.
Oh, yeah.
That all it the
might
teachers
be pajama
watching
day or something.
Yeah, Polar Express. The kids even watched it when they were in elementary school. And the kids got to wear their Christmas pajamas to school and bring the snacks and all that. So Polar Express, classic Christmas movie.
I'm at odds right here with my Christmas movie.
I don't know why.
Because I have like maybe three or four favorites, but it can only be one favorite. But each of them have a special place in my heart. So I'm just going to name my favorite Christmas movies. One is Gremlins. Gremlins is one of my favorite Christmas movies because, you know, Gizmo was my boy back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Gremlins was just Gremlins. It was like it was dope. I had a Gizmo book bag.
I bet.
Yeah. Another Christmas movie, Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2. It depends on the day of week which one I say is better. I think Lost in New York, to me, is better than Home Alone 1.
Really?
You know, yes. Home Alone 2, whew, that shit was live. Like, I love that movie. I think that was better than Home Alone 1. And then not lastly, A Christmas Story. You can't go wrong with Ralphie.
With the licking of the
yes, the double dog dare you, triple dog dare you. Yes, that it comes on 24 hours for a reason, because it's a classic.
Because they want you to believe it's a classic.
It is. That story is fucking ridiculous. You know what I'm saying?
It's all right.
And then lastly, classic Christmas movie, I'm going with Die Hard. Bruce Willis, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Okay.
Christmas movie.
All right.
Yeah. So those are my favorite Christmas movies. Now, on the flip side of that, what are some of your favorite Christmas songs?
Now, of course, Always and Forever, it will be This Christmas by Donny Hathaway.
That's the GOAT Christmas song. No debate about that. Please do not argue with us. There is no debate. Every other Christmas song after that one is y'all argue about that. But number one is already off the board.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one is off the board.
That I mean, and it's more so the fact of not just the song, because I love the song,
mm-hmm.
but the memory that is attached to the song was when I had begged my parents to get me a boombox.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what we called it back then. So I didn't know if I was going to get a radio. My parents, you know, we raised up in a very Christian household.
They make gospel tapes.
They do, but that's not, my mama knew that's not what I was playing on that thing. So it was a question of, was I going to get one? Plus, they had to get me some music, you know. So they got me one tape, but I like listen to the radio also. So the first thing I did when I got it was to find my station. So looking up the station, and on Christmas morning, turned on the radio, and what was on? This Christmas. And that was the first song that I heard on that radio, and it will forever be my favorite Christmas song.
All right. So, like I said, that's my favorite Christmas song. But other Christmas songs that I like,
What Do the Lonely Do at Christmas Time? I like that song.
I like Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas. I mean, that's a good song.
It's
all right. I mean, Temptations, you got to like that one. Silent Night, you know what I'm saying?
In My Mind.
Yeah. And who else? Oh, Christmas Time in Hollis, Run DMC, Players Ball, Outkast.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to think. Death Row Christmas song, Santa Claus in the Ghetto, coming straight to the ghetto. Yeah. Then what's the one? I want 12 pair of shoes, 11, five months free rent for something.
That wasn't a commercial.
What you want to get her for Christmas? What you want to get that? 69 Boys and one of their Christmas songs.
Okay.
When they did the little 12 something.
Yeah,
11.
I guess.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of ghetto remixes of that.
Fresh gold chains. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all those come around. You know, they only got good play one time a year. You know when it is. So let them play. Because, I mean, if you think about it, we ain't got that many classic Christmas songs. It's only like 10 songs and then 10 different versions of those 10 songs.
Like, not really. I mean,
how many niggas got a verse?
How many
people got versions of this Christmas?
A lot of people.
Exactly. It's only like, if you think about it, it's only 20. How many songs can you make? Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. That's Nat King Cole. You got to give respect to him.
You talking about how many songs?
We
don't have no reverse.
Anytime, anywhere. Man, so many people have remade that song.
If you say so.
Yes. So it's just like, it's only 20 Christmas songs. So y'all niggas get in the market, write more Christmas songs. Like, y'all niggas writing all these songs to be popular right now and shit. Write a song that can be popular forever.
Okay.
Like they said, Mariah Carey loves when Thanksgiving is over with. Because she know, next day in the stores, they playing that motherfucking song, and that's another motherfucking check. So listen, don't make a song for the club. Make a song for Christmas.
Okay.
Make a Christmas song. Ain't no Christmas. We need new Christmas songs. So make some. Shit. We running. I mean, niggas running, getting tired of hearing Temptations.
No,
I mean, damn.
Don't.
Nigga, if y'all group can sing, come together, do Silent Night again. Nigga, do a rendition of it. Just make a whole new song.
Yeah, let's make a
period,
whole new song.
About Crimma. Cause this shit is ridiculous. I love these songs, but goddamn, I've been listening to some of these songs my whole life.
That's what makes them so.
No,
you know,
that means we
special.
Need some more. Like, come on, Christmas. Christmas is new every year. Why I can't get no new songs? So yeah, y'all niggas, y'all musicians, step y'all motherfucking game up,
so
nigga.
Let's work on that. Christmas songs for 2022.
Yeah, going forward, that's longevity right there. That's long. If they ain't gonna play but so many Christmas songs, let it be one of yours. Let it be one of yours. So,
I'm gonna have me a Christmas song by next year.
Outside of getting that radio, give me another memorable Christmas moment you had. Good or bad. Cause mine gonna be bad, so yours should be good.
Okay, whatever. Christmas was always great, because every year we slept in somebody different room. So I'm one of five. So we would take turns of who room all five of us would ball up in and sleep in, because the goal was that whoever woke up first was supposed to wake all the rest of the kids up, and we all go to the game room and look at our Christmas stuff. So every year it was great, and I just really, really, really enjoy it. That's why I be so excited about going home for Christmas, and you think I just can't leave Savannah, but I just have so many memories attached to that house. I always want to be home whenever I can. So, like, Christmas was always great. One year, I did ask for some My Little Ponies, and, of course, again, having so many siblings, I thought I would probably just get one or two My Little Ponies, but I know I've told this story before, but it meant so
somebody
much
somebody hearing
me.
It for the first time. It don't
somebody mean. Is. But
the only person gonna complain is Be Easy, because he hears every show.
Yeah, he does.
So y'all gonna talk about that again? I'll let Be Easy, man.
It's a memory.
Yeah.
And I promise you, this little the toy horses stable or whatever, pony stable, it had like 9 little bay areas or whatever in it. So when I opened it, I was like, oh, okay, she got me something to work towards. So I got the little stage
stable,
and every one of those little compartments had a pony in it.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, you know, of course, being a little kid, that was just like, oh my gosh, she got me everything. She got me all of them. And I was just like so excited. And it just was like, oh my God, like this is like the best Christmas gift ever. And I was just so happy to have it.
Well, my Christmas moment, you know, is a bad one. Now, if this happened to somebody in 2021, it would create a serial killer. That would have been like, that was the day that Marlon snapped. So picture this. If some Jordans came out Christmas time, it might have been the Jordan 9s. I think it was either the 8s or the 9s. I think it was the 9s. Whichever ones had the 2-3 on back, it was them. So, no, it was the ones that came out the year before them. Exactly. The ones that came out before the 9s. So it was the 8s. So I wanted these Jordans bad as hell. Grandma knew this. I wanted these motherfucking Jordans. I wanted these Jordans. So before Christmas, my cousin had got some Jordans. You know, he was always, you know, fashion forward. You know what I'm saying? But fuck that nigga. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go ahead on record saying that. Fuck that nigga. You a bitch ass nigga. Anyway. So.
Okay.
So anyway, Christmas Day comes. You know what I'm saying? You know, on Christmas Day, we used to go to my house for Christmas. You know, after, you know, open your gifts at your house, we all convene in one spot. And we do, like, the big family gift giving. You know, everybody, some, you know, it'd be her house, so most of her kids got most of the gifts there. And so, you know, you there with maybe you get, like, 2 gifts max. You know what I'm saying? So you sitting there watching them open up all their gifts, which I wish they would have did that before we got there. No need for you to do that in front of everybody, because, you know, everybody's situations are different. Because, you know, like I said, when kids bully kids, you're really bullying the parents and not the kids. The kids don't know that you know, you had to refinance the house and remortgage this motherfucker and do all this. And they don't know that's the reason why they wearing their other brother clothes, because you can't afford, you know, they it's not their, like, they don't know, like, dad, he lost his job, and you know what I'm saying, and shit went bad, or he got scammed by somebody and lost all the money, and they don't know that shit. So they just know I'm going to school every day. Maybe I don't take baths every day. Maybe my clothes, I don't get my hair done as much, or, you know what I'm saying, I wear old women dresses, you know, because that's just I'm just saying, like, it's a whole lot of situation. You're not bullying. You're not bullying the kids. You're bullying the parents, because kids have no control. Because if every kid had control over their situation, they would all have everything. You know what I'm saying? So no kid wants to go to school with shoes with holes in them. You know what I'm saying? No kid wants to have to wear the cheaper shoes. No, you know, so it's just you bullying the parents. So going back to that, bullying. So I'm one of these motherfucking Jordans. And so, like I said, oh yeah, going back to how, you know, don't open gifts. And I don't like when people open gifts that's so tacky to me. I don't like it. If we come to your birthday party, don't open your gifts in front of me. I don't want to see that shit. Don't open your child gifts at their birthday party. Don't just say that. Go home. Take your shit home. Open it up. Send me a thank you note. You do it in front of everybody, it's just a scene. I don't like it. So I think it's very corny. So don't do that shit, people. So going back to that, they used to do that shit all the time. So that was already, I wasn't feeling it. But this year, I was like, yes, I got a feeling. Because I seen the box that was over there. I've been watching it. I'm looking at the dimensions of it. It's the dimensions of a shoebox. This shit finished. I even tore a little bit of it off. So I seen a little that it was I was for sure it was a Nike Air Jordan shoebox. I knew for a fact. So I was like, yes, I got them J's. I got them J's. So matter of fact, it was the 9s. It was the 9s. So it come to, like, you know, they was all excited about this box. You know, I used to be Junior Prankster. I used to be the one, I'm the one that's playing jokes on people, all that. You know, me, that was me. So I was mischievous. I was that nigga, you know what I'm saying? So I had it coming. I had it coming. I fuck with everybody, and so, you know, I had it coming. So I should have, didn't know it was this day. Didn't never know my grandma would join the motherfucking crowd and do no shit like this to me and shit. So I go to open up the motherfucking box, nigga. I open up the first layer, psh, I see the Michael Jordan air sign, the jump man, nigga. I'm happy. It's a picture they took of me right at that moment when I seen the motherfucking Air Jordan box. And I'm like, oh shit. So my brothers and sisters clown me. They call it the picture because it like you saying they always say that it's like this picture like you saying So anyway, so they catch this moment of me like I'm happy because I see the Jordan box. So I go to open this motherfucking box, and there's some socks and drawers in this motherfucker. Nigga, and they was just, everybody just fell out laughing. Ha ha, we got him. Ha ha. Nigga, I was sick as a motherfucker. And I looked at my grandma. I know my grandma ain't want to do it. I know she ain't want to do
it. And see, that's you.
I know. No, no, no. Because I looked in her eyes. No. I looked at her. No. It was my idea. It was her. They wanted to get me back, and they just included her. Because I looked at grandma. Grandma wouldn't have done me like that. She wouldn't have done me like that.
She wanted to laugh.
No. She didn't think it was funny. Because she seen the hurt in my eyes. Because she know, like, damn, that really hurt that nigga. Like, and that day right there, I said, fuck Christmas. So
that's your problem.
That's the day I said, fuck Christmas. So yeah,
and it's been fuck Christmas ever since.
That's what started it. That's where it started on that day right there. I was like, man, how you gonna do somebody like that? Like you don't play no games. Like, I would never do that to a kid. Never. Much as I like playing jokes, like that day when Juan, I was gonna get him that car, and I was gonna come out there with some keys, at his birthday party. And he was going to come out there and think he was going to see a car. And there was going to be a car, a little matchbox car on the ground with a bow on that motherfucker. But I said, nah, I ain't going to do that to him. I said, that might be it. Especially with these kids today. Niggas record that shit. And next thing I know, my son on the news being a school shooter. You know what I'm saying? He hate me. He come shoot me in the middle of the night because I embarrassed him in front of his friends. So I said, I better think on that. You know what I'm saying? So that shit was damaging to me because it made me say fuck Christmas.
But you have a Grinch spirit anyway.
No, like, that's what gave me the Grinch. That's what born.
Let that shit go. That's what born it.
That's what made, like, I was just like, man, this some bullshit.
But that's not
how y'all gonna do. No, it's not. It wasn't fair. They did me like that.
Okay, but that's them. You got a whole family now that you at, like, when they wake you up at 6 o'clock in the morning to open their gifts, it's a bother. But you can stay out here in the garage.
Cause I just laid down at 2 or 3 to wrap them up.
That's not our problem.
Can wake up at 8 or 9 and open this shit. Like, y'all ain't got to get up this early. Y'all ain't little no more. The magic of Santa Claus is gone.
But that's the point. If they still have that childlike spirit, that love,
they just greedy. They want to see what they get.
It doesn't matter. If you enjoy it, let them enjoy it because it's going to be a day where they don't care. And all they want you to do is send them a couple of $100 so that they can get what they want to get. And they don't need to come and see your tree. They don't need to be up underneath you.
I ain't having no tree once these kids get out of the house.
I had a tree before I had kids.
That tree right there, Avalon, that tree right there last, we gonna ride that motherfucker till that thing rock out, bro. Because, I mean, hey.
Again.
I'm just saying.
Again, sucking the life out of it.
I'm not sucking the life out of it. I'm just realistic with things, man.
It's not about being, you should be glad I'm not one of these people who want to have a million and one lights and decorations.
Yeah, man.
I gotta have a fresh tree every year.
I talk you out of it every year.
You're not that much of a con man.
I'm not that big a con man.
Or whatever. Because if I wanted it and that was my idea of what
Christmas was, I just bring logic in the situation. You'd be like, why y'all always gotta, And I'd just be like, you know.
It's some shit you can't negotiate.
I'd be like, I mean, some things you can't, but you know, hey. But I'm just glad.
I mean, I know that you don't like the holidays, but it's like you can't make us pay for what somebody else
did. I'm not making y'all pay. I'm just saying, just don't mind me.
35 years ago.
It wasn't that long. It was like in the 90s. It was like the early 90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 30 years ago.
Damn near close to it, like you saying, shit. Yeah. So, damn near close to it.
You're not going to take away from me because Christmas, I've had nothing. I mean, even when I didn't
like buying y'all gifts and seeing y'all happy for them.
Even when I didn't get what I wanted, I still enjoy Christmas because it was bigger than that to me.
Yeah.
So,
but my thing
nobody
is,
never
I like buying y'all gifts and seeing the joy y'all get from it.
It don't seem like it.
Because it's no big deal to me. It's like, because
It should be, though, because it's spreading joy. It's not like you buying gifts for random folk. Yeah. You buying gifts for the niggas you claim you love. Mm. So, hell, for me, I give my last dollar. I go in the negative for y'all. So, I don't understand.
I mean, That's when I blame. It's not fiscally responsible. We can't do that.
Whatever.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, that's what you would say. That's the easy way to get out of it.
That's not the easy way to get out of it. I'm just like, let's find a more cost efficient way.
Yeah, but Christmas come up every year. Yeah, same time. You can't. So if you don't know what's coming, then
you know it's coming. But okay, you're not supposed to.
So you're supposed to plan for it.
You plan. If you don't plan for it, then it is what it is.
Yeah. It could possibly be that way, but...
I will say my mama did. She made miracles happen because I don't know how she did what she did. You know what I'm saying? Looking back, like, you got to get 4 bicycles. Like, what the fuck? Like, then you hid the bicycles from us. Like, how the hell did you pull that stunt off? And, you know what I'm saying? Then you got, you know what I'm saying? One year she got me a whole bunch of Nintendo games. And I was just like, how the hell mama put it? I don't know. Man, she must have knew a booster or something, man. I don't know. But I mean,
she was the booster.
She might have been the booster. Shit, like, I mean, I ain't gonna deny that. Like, shit, I'm sure some scams was ran.
Lord, have mercy.
Man, I remember when I got that Nintendo, the first Nintendo, I think I was in like 4th grade when I got my first Nintendo. And man, Mike Tyson Punch Out, like, oh my God. That game was like, back in the day, Nintendos, you have to blow them shits out and shit. So I put the game in, you know, and it wasn't working. So she took it back to the store, and it was sold out. And so she just got something else, and she never went back and got, like, a Punch-Out for a while, nigga. And I was, like, mad as a month. No, it was wrestling. I had Punch-Out. That's the problem. It was pro wrestling, the game that I didn't get. And I was mad because I wanted to play with Starman and all that shit. Because I used to be a wrestling junkie.
You were.
Yes. I'm talking about... When I was young.
I mean, you was a wrestling person when I met you, so I can only imagine what you was when it was appropriate to be watching wrestling. Oh, man, when
I
was...
But I just started back watching wrestling not too long, like, you know what I'm saying, not too long before that I got back into it, because the Stone Cold shit brought me back in. Mm. The Stone Cold Rock, all that shit brought me back in, because I had stopped, you know what I'm saying, for a while. You know, when I was like 11, you know what I'm saying, you know, stopped watching wrestling, 11, 12, yeah. I think about 11, that's when I started watching wrestling. But I was crazy.
You realized it was fake.
I always knew it was fake, but that day I talked to that wrestler and I asked him, I said, is wrestling fake? He said, it's realer than you believe, kid. And I never knew what he meant when he said that till I got older and see all these documentaries and shit. And I was like, damn, that nigga, he basically told, because I mean, what threw me off was one night we went to a wrestling match, you know, because they used to be in Greensboro all the fucking time. Like, mm-hmm. We go to a wrestling match, they're $5. You used to be sitting there watching them on TV, next thing you know, boy, Nikita Koloff, I'm about to be in that Greensboro Coliseum, and I'm about to get you in the edges. And I'd be like, and I'd be sitting there watching on TV, and I'm like, mama, can I please go to the match? And you know what I'm saying? Something, granddad, you know, like, it's only $5. Yeah, I just need a ride down there. They give me a ride. Well, you know, she had people to work there. Watch over my son. You know, I'm little, going to these wrestling matches because I used to love wrestling. I'm talking about, whew. So one night after we leave the wrestling match, we go to Beef Burger. And we get Beef Burger. Ralph was like, oh, because I forgot. Somebody in the family was working there because everybody didn't work at Beef Burger. I ain't never worked there, but everybody didn't motherfucking work at Beef Burger. So we was picking somebody up from work. So Ralph was like, hey, go around that corner right there. I'm thinking it's video game, some bullshit like that. I go around that corner. There's 3 motherfucking wrestlers sitting over there. Now I'm confused because I'm sitting there like, but y'all was just in the ring. Y'all hate each other on TV, but y'all sitting in Beef Burger eating together? And that's when I asked him that. And so my one question was, is wrestling real?
You could have asked anything.
At the time, I met fucking Boss Hogg. We was at the damn, some kind of expo. You know, back in the day, it's how you met celebrities. They come to an expo or some shit. And it was the Dukes of Hazzard, but, you know, they had the general leader and shit. Because, you know, that was another thing I was crazy about. That's one of my earliest memories. I remember my first birthday cake. It was a General Lee Dukes of Hazzard birthday cake. And the black icing. Like, to this day, I would not eat black icing. Because of the tires.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody can get it right.
That shit is nasty. And so to this day, it is like some fine memory. And this is one of my early, I had to be 3 or 4. I had to be 3 or 4 on this birthday. Because I was young as fuck. And where we were living at, I know my brother wasn't born yet. So, yeah, I had to be about 4. And because, I remember early shit in my mind. But that has nothing to do with Christmas. But we done got way off of it. And so...
Birthdays, that's, wrestling, hey.
All that shit came in about. So that's what, you know, made me the Grinch.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to let it go. Because you suck it out. You do. You really do.
I try not to. That's why I say don't mind me. I don't. That's,
but you can never say don't mind me when I'm over here with my face balled up. That's like, who can ignore like, that. It's I know kids even looking at me like, hey, get
what's
your
wrong
man.
With that nigga? Like, what's wrong with that nigga? Y'all know how y'all daddy is every Christmas. It ain't nothing new. Y'all should know. This nigga
it's not okay.
This nigga gonna be a grouch. Like, fuck that nigga, man. I'm not letting that nigga spoil my joy. That's what y'all should say. Like, yo, nigga, I don't give a fuck if you grouchy over there, nigga. We having a ball over here, nigga. Fuck you. Ha ha. Do the DX suck it. Da da. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't feel bad. I'd laugh. I'd be like, oh, word. That's the energy y'all on. No, I won't.
Then you'll be in here cussing the churn.
I wouldn't.
Leaving out the room and all kind of other bullshit.
I respect that. That's what I would do. But yeah, so.
Don't be a Grinch.
Don't be a Grinch. Be a Grinch. You know what I'm saying?
Don't be a Grinch.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's up to you. You choose your adventure.
It's not.
You choose your adventure, what you want to be. I don't like spoiling nobody fun. It's just I'm not in the holiday spirit. I like hearing songs and shit like that, but it's just like, I don't be all like, Merry Christmas. Everybody be all happy. Like, what you so happy for? You know what I'm saying? I get it. If it's the Christian aspect of it, I get why you upset, you happy about it. But if you ain't no Christian and Christmas is like, nigga, calm the fuck down.
It's the magic of this time of year. It's exciting. You know it, like, it's a good time of year. People are excited.
For babies,
people are smiling.
And nose is getting raw.
If people are excited, people are smiling, people are extra happy for whatever reason. If it brings you joy and people can smile. I mean, like, this time of year, a lot more people are
nice to each other. I actually gave a vagrant a brother under management some money the other day. And I was like, I never do that.
See?
Nigga was like, nigga was like, you got 50 cent? I was like, nope.
But I got a dollar.
I felt bad. No. I went to the store. I bought what I needed to buy. And I only had 31 cent left.
Oh, God.
And then I was like,
he
was still standing there. So I was like, I'm not going to touch your hand, my guy. I'm going to sit it on top of these case of waters. You can grab it from here, but I'm not touching your hand, nigga. I don't know when the last time you washed your motherfucking hands, my guy.
See how you acting?
I'm just being real.
You get credit for that.
What you mean?
You was 19 cents short.
I still have to protect.
And you gave the nigga the change like you was too good to touch him.
No, I'm just being proactive.
You got sanitizer in the car.
I got some homeboys whose hand I ain't shaking. I'm damn sure not about to risk it on some nigga that's been out here in the wild. And you know what I'm saying? I don't know where the fuck you been. Yeah, I'm just saying. So I did my good deed. And he was white. That's what threw me off because I never give the white ones any money. And it's not to say I'm racist. It's just that I feel that the white people have a leg up in society already. So how the hell could you not take advantage of that privilege and you out here asking for money, bumming for change and shit. Nigga, all you gotta do is clean yourself up there, give you a job somewhere. But no, you rather be out here goddamn wasting your whiteness, nigga. Fuck out of here, man. So yeah, so I don't give white bums money. I'm sorry. And I don't give people money to use kids and shit. Like, nigga, I see what you're doing over there. This is a script right here. This little nigga know what to say. But I didn't mean it. We're talking about the season of giving.
Yeah, giving.
I'm giving advice on how to avoid these broke-ass niggas.
Oh, Lord.
Stay away from whether they're ringing bells, whether they got them holding up signs, they got them asking you to sign up for extended car warranty, cable. Like, nigga, leave me alone, man. Everybody out here hustling, man, asking, like, got their hand out. Like, this shit is nuts, bro. Everybody begging. You got niggas asking for money. Women asking for money. Goddamn churches asking for money. Goddamn.
Everybody got their hand
organizations out. Asking for money. Nonprofits asking. Nigga, how you a nonprofit asking me for money? Nigga, that means you got it, nigga. Ain't that what nonprofit mean? I ain't trying to make no money off of this.
They ain't supposed to be.
Well, what the fuck? Well, why you in business? That don't make no sense.
They say they not for profit.
But what you mean? Well, why you in business?
They calling there something else.
So that's what you're doing. Oh, this ain't crack. This cocaine.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. the final things in life.
These nigga crazy. Like, I just don't understand how you feel. Oh, I'm starting a nonprofit. Whoa. So you want to get in business not to make money. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And you want me to get in on this to not make money?
They said they might be.
What's the incentive for me to get in on your non-profit?
Maybe they're doing bitcoins or something.
Man, stop, bro. You better get out of my face with that. That word don't even sound right. That don't even sound right, man. So, since we're in the Christmas spirit, it's top 10 time.
Top 10.
And this top 10 is the top 10 toys of all time. So it's going to scan decades. So for all you eclectic out there, throwback niggas, it might hit something on there. 12 Kyle, it might hit something on there. Sleazy the Black Farmer, it might hit something that you had on there, you know. And it might hit something for you young niggas out there. So we're going to see. So the top 10 hottest Christmas toys of all time. So this list encompasses the top 10 hot Christmas toys of all time. When I say hot, I mean the ones flying off the shelves that every kid just has to have, the kind of toy that brings out the best in everyone, kids and some adults. Spend their time feverishly begging and pleading for the item, while normally calm and level-headed people become hot-headed shopping maniacs. So, we could have did 50, but we only going to do 10. So, number 10, Mr. Potato Head, 1952. 1 million sold. You know, that was a big deal back in the day.
Yeah, but I feel like it should have been more sold.
It should have been. I think, man, you know them kids back then was trash. In 1952, if you let them niggas sell you a goddamn potato that y'all were just putting eyes and shit on, and that was the number one toy, y'all niggas were easily amused. A damn potato, bro.
They was impressed.
Some black slave ass mama made that shit for their baby. They ain't had no baby doll, so they took one of the potatoes out the field and dressed it up. And some white slave person seen that shit and they stole that shit. No, that exactly. And that's what happened. I already know, nigga. I already uncovered the story. So that was number 10. So the Christmas story behind that is, originally George Lerner's idea for this famous toy, Spud, seemed like it might be a dud. Okay, come on. Bars. At first, no one seemed interested in his idea, but eventually a small family-run toy company called Hasbro began production. Yep. Mr. Potato Head became so popular that a Mrs. Potato Head was introduced the next year. The craziness... Mr. Potato Head was their very first toy advertisement on TV. Thank you, Hasbro, for starting never ending chorus of "Can I have that? I want that." I don't remember that. You remember that?
I don't remember. I mean, kids always begging for
12 Cow. That was in 1952. Let us know how that go.
Oh.
That started in living rooms in 1952 and hasn't died down to this day. I mean, we have to look that up. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I feel like that's just the begging aspect of kids is what they're referring to, right?
Yeah. I think Tylenol probably owes Mr. Potato Head a kickback for a jump in profits, particularly around Christmas. Wow. So, number 9, 1975. What you think it is? Now, this is showing what kind of kids got off of in 1975. Number 9 is a Pet Rock. Come on now. Come on now. Over 5 million sold in 6 months.
And you could have got, you know, and not one of them was sold in a black house.
Shit, a pet rock.
My mama would have got me some shit out the house, outside, and would have gave me that. You could have painted it. You could have put whatever glitter or whatever you wanted to put on it. Cause my mama wouldn't have bought no rock. I can tell you that now.
My nigga, a pet rock, bro. Come on, man.
Black people wasn't buying that.
So the Christmas story on it, it had to. 5 million. I bet we called some old ass person. And they had a pet rock. Somebody that was a kid in 75. Like your brother was how old then? Like 3.
Yeah.
He might not have been born then.
No, he was.
What year he was born in?
72.
73.
Okay. He
might have. He born in 73. Okay, so now he ain't had one. So the Christmas story behind the pet
my
rock
mama
is.
My mama didn't buy stuff like that. I can tell you that now.
In his own words, ad executive Larry Dahl hit on the idea while boozing with pals. You don't say.
Yeah.
Next, he sent a press release out to virtually every major media outlet, leading to articles in several newspapers, local newspapers, Newsweek, and an appearance on The Tonight Show. The fad peaked during the 1975 Christmas season, and it estimated that Dow earned over $15 million during the 6 months that Pet Rocks were popular. The craziness, hello, every day during the 1975 Christmas season, 100,000 people were paying money for a Pet Rock. What is even more crazy, as I write this, Pet Rock USB buddies are sold out at ThinkGeek.com, and actual Pet Rocks are still selling on eBay for $15.
Foolishness.
Listen, this is amazing. Number 8, 1975. A lot of suckers was around. Pong. You remember what that is? 150,000 sold. It was on Atari game. That was the little white stick, the little that bounced, ding ding. That like you have.
Oh yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
You just block from side to side. So Pong was.
I mean, at least that was something to do.
I guess. I mean, it was stupid.
Yeah, I mean, that's better than a freaking rock.
Yeah. Pong was an adaptation of the company's popular arcade game of the same name, and it became the most popular game of the 1975 holiday season with sales of $40 million for the year. Now, $40 million in 1975 is like $400 million.
Yeah.
Like, gas was like 25 cents a gallon in 75. Like, shit. Let us know, 12 Cal, how much gas was in 75. I know you just got out the military. But, yes, man, the craziness about the Pong game, when it comes to home video games, Pong really started the ball rolling. When you see it in action now, it's hard to believe that a few lines on a TV screen could cause such a ruckus. But Pong was 1975's version of a Wii. People were waiting 2 hours in line to sign up on a list just to get an Atari home version of Pong. Wow. So, dang. Number seven, 1979, the Atari.
Okay.
1 million sold. Christmas story for Atari. Atari, again, yes. Atari gets two spots on the list of the hottest toys because their products were crazy popular during two Christmas seasons. The Atari video game computer system, the VCS, originally came out in 1977. It came out with one game, Combat, and about a half a dozen other games that were available. That year was not a good time for video game system as the market experienced a crash after it had been previously oversaturated with Pong clones. While the Atari VCS is considered the first successful console with interchangeable cartridges, its sales were disappointing during the first 2 years. So, that was that. Now, the craziness about this, cartridges. That's what all it was, because they've never been a game system that had cartridges. I don't know what they had before that. I went old
it
enough.
Was just, I think it was just the fact that you had to buy that game. Like, you know, like if you had Pac-Man or whatever the thing was. You know what I'm saying? It was just that whole thing, right? Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like you go into, what you call it? The arcade or something? It was just like that one thing. It wasn't something that you could have one console that you could play multiple different games on.
And then the cartridge was just like a game changer because you were selling little bit of effort, like not even what we was paying $50 for them games on Nintendo and shit like that was about the same size file size as a song, one song. That's how big of we was paying $50 for that much
for
space.
That little bit,
you know what I'm saying? But and then the whole case was nothing. The whole computer chip that was at the end of the Nintendo game, that little green look, that's all it was. That whole that was nothing.
That was just show.
It was just show. The little board was about that big. So, yeah. Oh, so getting back to the list. I'm sorry, y'all. We get to talking.
You get off track.
Number six.
You get too excited.
1983. 3 million sold. Everybody had one. A Cabbage Patch doll.
I got lots of them now.
Yes.
I love those things.
According to CabbagePatchKids.com, the dolls go on record as the most successful new doll introduction in the history of the toy industry. In 2000, they were featured in the U.S. Stamp Series highlighting the 1980s. It all started when celebrities were spotted toting them around. Even President Jimmy Carter's daughter, Amy, had one. Then Coleco began aggressively pushing the Cabbage Patch dolls. It sent them directly to reporters, a relatively new technique. Over 2 million dolls were adopted in the first 6 months. By December of 1983, Cabbage Patch dolls were the cover of Newsweek, and they were in short supply and high demand. The craziness behind it, man, the shopping frenzy that surrounded the dolls is well documented.
Because you had to get the doll baby that you wanted. Mm-hmm. So it's like you had to get the doll with the clothes that you liked. You had to get the black doll if you was a black person. That's what you wanted. And it was like, I want the doll that had this.
Yeah, I want to pick out my doll since I'm adopting her.
And then they all had a little birth certificate with them. So a lot of kids wanted the one that had the closest to their real birthday. Mm-hmm. So it was already hard to find the one you like just for the looks of it. And then you want to find one that got a birthday in August. So it's kind of like, you know, it was just something about it that you couldn't identify with. So it made it real cool for you to get the doll babies.
They said dolls were being delivered to stores by armored car, and Coleco pulled the TV commercials in an attempt to tame the madness. One desperate and doting Kansas City dad flew to London to get his daughter a doll. Man, that's daddy of the year right there. I bet you she don't even thank you for that shit, dad.
And probably didn't even want it.
She probably don't even
Want it that bad. Now, that's the stuff that you say that is foolish. Because if you just going to stand in a line, I can stand in a line. I can spend a little couple of extra dollars. But going to a whole other country, I don't think I'm doing all of that.
Yep. So, that was the dolls, man. Number five, 1991. And this is just when I remember this year. Game Boy. Over 1 million sold in the US during its first Christmas season. You know, this was when Nintendo took it to the handheld. A year after its release in Japan, the Game Boy came to the United States and conquered the Christmas shopping season. Contributing to its popularity, the Game Boy gave you 35 hours of play on one set of batteries, in contrast to its competitors at the time. Also, it came with Tetris, a game that appealed to all ages. My mom used to love Tetris. We had Tetris on the Nintendo. Like, I ain't get a Game Boy when it first came out because the motherfuckers were too expensive. I just didn't get one. Game Boy, then they came out the Game Boy Color. Combined lifetime sales reached 118.7 million worldwide. And Game Boy is the longest running dynasty in the video game industry. Like I said, the design, this is the craziness about it. The design is recognizable. You see the shape, you know it's Game Boy. They got Game Boy condoms, wallets, handmade dresses, fully functional Halloween costume, and tattoos, man. So everybody know about Game Boy. Number four. That's a good year right here, 1996. 10 million and counting. What you think it is? Think about it. Christmas 1996. What do you think was the hottest toy?
You got to give me a clue. Is it an electronic?
On. Yeah, you can say that. It's not electronic, but it's you put batteries in it, and it's come on now. Think about some of the craziest stuff.
I wasn't into toys in 96.
Okay.
So you I'm going to just give it to us.
So number four is Tickle Me Elmo.
Oh.
Don't forget about the craziness that was Tickle Me Elmo. That's what I'm saying. That was a crazy year.
So we got one for one.
Yeah, and it's right up there. In the case of Christmas in July, or at least that's when Christmas Story begins, Rosie O'Donnell introduces Tickle Me Elmo to her viewers, and 200 Elmos are given out to her studio audience. By some accounts, Tyco had already sold 400,000 Tickle Me Elmos before he made his appearance on the Rosie O'Donnell show. By other accounts, Tyco was not expecting the rather expensive doll to do well. And it was a slow seller, similar to the Cabbage Patch craze. The low supply of dolls made it even more desirable. Won't you think of that? Supply and demand.
Get them every time.
Yes, if there is no supply, make a demand.
Mm-hmm.
in the weeks leading up to Christmas, Tickle Me Elmo dolls were in such scarce supply that ads cropped up in newspaper asking for as much as $2,000 per doll. The craziest, one department store employee describes what happened to him on December 14th, 1996. He said, I was pulled under, trampled, the crotch was yanked out of my brand new jeans.
Says
Waller, who suffered a pulled hamstring, injuries to his back, jaw, and knee, a broken rib, and a concussion. I was kicked with the white Adidas before I became unconscious. Jesus. Man. Now they say you can buy the original dolls online for less than $20
in the United States.
That's nuts. So number three. Now this was 1998. I didn't know too much about this because that's when I was, you know what I'm saying, I wasn't that type of guy no more. But Furby, you remember those things?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, so this was 99. It's a 1.8 million. Furby, this was that little
weird,
like
doll,
most of the other toys appearing late on this list, the Furby was introduced at the Toy Industries Association annual toy fair. The introduction of the Furby took place in February, months before its planned release in October. Premature media coverage caught the attention of toy stores, and Tiger had sold all of them before the factory had even started production. Parents were just as intrigued because the toy sold out of the stores immediately. They say 14 million Furby sold in 1999. Jesus Christ, that must be worldwide.
I hope so.
But the Christmas of 98 was the height of the Furby fever because of its lack of availability.
That's what they always do.
So they started out $35. And they said one eBay seller made at least $2,600 selling Furby to 33 buyers.
That's sad.
Oh, wow.
Because the things ain't all that. Like, what does the thing really do?
It doesn't do nothing.
It light up and some say a couple of phrases or something.
They said sometimes the hot toy is not a good toy, said one toy expert during the Furby craze. Apparently, the Furby was not only annoying, it also creeped quite a few kids out and adults. Only a few weeks ago, my nieces, now in their 20s, were describing how scary their Furby was to have in their rooms because it would suddenly start talking.
Yeah, that's it. Say phrases and stuff. So I'm like, you're paying $2,600 for that?
Oh, shit. They said family dogs don't like them. Wow, that's crazy. Might have to do a scary movie with Furbies.
Okay.
Number two, 2006. PlayStation 3. See, listen. All y'all niggas out there, y'all play. Listen, this will spawn all these crazy niggas. I tell you, PlayStation niggas will fuck you up. Stay away from these niggas. Them niggas are dangerous. They oof, low lives.
Really?
Yes. The PS3 has several features to set it apart. It unified online gaming service, encouraged online play. It had functionality for multimedia storage and play, photos, music, and movies, and it primarily used Blu-ray discs for storage. The PlayStation 3 was unveiled at 2005 Electronic Entertainment Expo and shown again in Tokyo Game Show in September, but that was an operating version of the game system demonstrated at either of these shows. The international release date was originally set for November, but the PAL version in Asia, Africa, whatever, that version, was delayed until spring of 2007. Over 81,000 PS3 sold within the first 24 hours of the Japanese release. Now, all these factors contributed to a tense, this is the craziness, environment surrounding the U.S. release. PS3's pre-sold for thousands of dollars online, and more than ever, people were camping outside stores. The long build-up anticipation resulted in numerous reports of gun violence in the news, armed robbery shootings, drive-bys, and brawls. In one case, 60 shoppers was involved. Like I said, them PlayStation niggas is dangerous. So that is number two. And the number one toy of all time. Of the crazy, I guess the hype around it is, number one is the Juju Pets. Have you ever heard of these?
Uh-huh.
2009, 10 million sold. The man who came,
like them things right there.
So those like the battle guns, the Bakugans. Oh, it's them. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. So wow. So Russell Hornsby, the man who came up with the idea for these robotic hamsters. No, that's the little hamster. Oh,
that's what that is. That's one of the
oh,
the
that's the Kung Fu Juju. Okay, I see what you're saying.
The people that go with it is them Juju pets.
Okay, we're inspired by the popularity of hamster footage on YouTube. The toy was tested out at a few stores in Arizona and sold out in a few weeks.
You might be able to get some money for these things.
Following in the footsteps of must-have season pass the Furby, Tickle Me Elbow, Cabbage Patch Dolls, and Beanie Babies. Supply seems to grow short just when demand is high and Juju Pets are flying off store shelves. Another reason for success, you could buy a hamster for under $10. Unlike actual hamsters, they don't bite, they don't smell, and they don't poop. So, it was robot hamsters.
Yep.
Wow. Man, listen, bro. Hey, them the top toys of all time. That's a crazy list. I'm not going to ask you your top two, three, and all that because we've been talking for a long time about that. So I hope
send a message. We'll
yeah,
get it.
Yeah, send a message. What were your top toys? Yeah, give me some of your top toys that you got. You know what I'm saying? I know some of mine was like the damn Voltron shit I got that year.
My Little Pony.
The Optimus Prime when I got that truck and everything. I wish I never would have opened it. Never.
Wow.
That shit is worth like about $50,000-$60,000 right now.
Oh.
If I never would have opened the Optimus Prime shit. If I never would have opened the Voltron. Like if I could go back and tell young Germ like, yo, it's going to hurt. Don't open that shit, son. Save that shit. Keep the box intact. Matter of fact, just store none of your toys. Don't play with them. Buy some other toys to play with, but some of that shit, don't play with that shit. Man, stop, bro. But, you know, hindsight's 2020. Oh. So, hope y'all enjoyed the Christmas version of the show, man. You know, every year we come here do a Christmas show, and this year's like no other. So, Merry Christmas to all of y'all. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Chinooka. Whatever you celebrate, happy yes. Kwanzaa gang in the building, Umoja, all that good stuff. I'm going to get it right.
Yeah.
Dahani, what they say when you walk up on somebody?
I don't know.
Gahani High or something like that. Rashani Low, something like that. I'm just saying. See? No disrespect.
Sounds very disrespectful.
But yeah, man. So that's all. Let's go ahead. It's TV talk time, Queen Jern.
Okay.
We ain't watched too much this week. We did. Power. We're not going to do a double recap. We're just going to talk about what happened. So Power happened. Listen. So now we know. Zeke is Monet and Mecca's kid. So Zeke is his own cousin now?
Yeah. That's dumb. But Zeke is Zeke. And he already slow as hell. So you would have thought that Mecca and Mary J. Blige was related the way that poor child act.
Yeah.
But
He got cleared. He got his name cleared.
But now the shit done fell apart.
The shit done fell apart because Kane went and planted the dead cop's badge at Tariq's in his room. Now, mind you, if I killed the cop, why would I keep his badge in my room? That makes no sense. I would be like, yo, somebody had to put that here, but he don't, you know, Tariq don't want to snitch. But the funniest shit of the whole episode.
But Tariq don't even know why they got him.
He don't know that they got the badge. He gonna find out.
He gonna find out. But the thing is stupid is the fact that Kane thought that that was a good idea. Like, why would you even put that on the boy? Like, it would go away if you idiots would not have had a badge. Like, you trying to connect him to something because your so-called stepdaddy told you, you know what I'm saying, to have some security, you know what I'm saying, a backup plan or whatever. But it's just like, that's kind of dumb. Like, the nigga done killed his own daddy. The nigga done did all this other stuff. You really think I'm going to be that sloppy to have a damn badge in my my bedroom?
But the funniest shit to me the whole episode was the Jeffrey from the Cosby Show, that's the arbiter of the estate for the family. He has a letter that his father told him to give to Tariq whenever he's arrested for murder. And so, you know, he asked him what the contents of the letter say. He said, I don't know. I wish I never had to give you this letter. So Tariq gets his letter. He's carrying it around like it's all personal. And in the letter, all it said was, I knew you'd end up in here, little nigga.
Ain't no love, ain't no advice.
Hey, but that shit fucking killed me, nigga.
And he just looked at it. He said, yeah. And he said, because this is where you deserve to be.
Yeah, so, you know what I'm saying? So, Tariq got picked up for the shit because Kane planted the shit. And
his so-called girlfriend was wearing a wire.
And his girlfriend, but he never implicated. She was trying to get him to implicate himself. She was asking some questions. He was like, whoa, why you asking shit like this?
Yeah, you know like, what I'm we saying? Don't like, talk about stuff like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, so. We don't ever talk about this. And so, you know, they pressing her with some little drug charge, trying to get her to snitch. Then the damn professor, she didn't read a copy of Jabari's book, so she think that Tariq was on to him, and he did it because she really feel like Tariq did it, which, I mean, he technically did,
but
you know what I'm saying? So, you know, she write about it.
If she wasn't such a hoe, then it wouldn't even matter because it's like, she the problem.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to be rude, but she is because, like, all the men in her circle, they losing their mind.
Yeah, because she got that fire. Like, them niggas ready.
It ain't no fire.
She got that killer
you
pussy.
Can't, if you can't keep a nigga, then the shit ain't that good because they wasn't willing to do enough.
See,
the white police officer, he round there acting stupid, whatever he's supposed to be.
Z can't leave her alone. Mary had to come bust some windows and shit and threaten her with a pistol. Leave that nigga alone. I see why she was so defensive. That's her son. I was just like, yo, like this shit is wild. And I don't know what agreement Mecca and Mary had when he was trying to get her, like, I could set up trust for the kids. What was that all about?
He wanted her to start her life over with him. Mm. So he was putting it out there financially that he could take care of her, that he could make sure she and her kids were good, their kid was good too.
Now, okay, speaking of that, that's where my timeline problem comes. How old are these kids? Because we need to look up a Power Wiki and see how old are the shows. Because how old is Diana? How old is Drew? How old is Zeke? And how old is Kane?
Because I feel like Zeke has got to be the oldest person.
He has to
for it to make sense.
He has to be. But Kane is old. Like, Kane is...
But that's what you think. Because of Kane's capability out here in these streets. But the shit Kane be doing, he act like he a kid. Some days when you got people following you and you don't know that... I mean, like, how long have you been in the game... For your ass to be out here letting people follow you, you don't know that niggas on your tail.
So that's why I need to know the ages, because how could she hide a pregnancy from her other kids?
That's
like,
what I'm
mama was pregnant, and all of a sudden we got a cousin that living with us, and mama was pregnant. Well, his mama. So mama, whoa! But you was pregnant. Unless you hid your pregnancy from everybody, it doesn't add up. And like I said, unless he's the oldest, he gotta be the oldest
for it to work. So we gonna just say he the oldest.
So all these niggas is like 17, 16. Yeah, so they got to be all close in age. Okay, all right. So I guess we'll take that with the time, because that shit was bothering me while I was watching it, man. It was bothering me while I was watching it.
Nothing else have to make sense for you to watch it.
I'm glad that Tate's brother is speaking some life. Even though he's doing too much, he's about to catch our character up. But he's being a little more realistic. He was, you know, steering the conversation his way. Davis is dirty motherfucker. Oh, they got the daddy out. We ain't even speak of that. Fucking Mary J. Blige, Monet's husband. He's home. Lorenzo.
And she's sick.
She ain't know nothing about that shit. Because that's when Tariq told her, like, yo, you think you control everything? You don't know nothing. You on an island. Whole bunch of shit going on around you. You don't know what the fuck
going on. She might be the one that try to help get Tariq out, because she know that she need Tariq more than her other kids. Because her other kids, y'all done turned on this lady. Like, why y'all was
she's
so
like,
pressed
I can't
that the
trust
daddy
none
got
of
out?
Y'all. Nobody was pressed. Only one was pressed was the daughter. She the one that got the ball rolling on this. She the one wanted to talk to daddy in. Remember, because she wanted, I want to step up. Let me talk to him. And this and that. She did all this. She stole the money from the bar to pay the nigga to do the shit. So, you know, she the one did this. Like, they ain't know nothing about it. And that's why they all looking like, oh, shit, this nigga back. Like, he going to rule his way. Like, you
and
know.
And that ain't what
that ain't
Monet
what they
does.
Want.
Yeah.
And so this nigga going to end up getting either popped or sent back in that motherfucker. You know, because he going to see, and then he going to lose, she going to lose that ally, you know, behind this. It was going to happen. So, I don't know. It's interesting
Mecca to see. Seemed to be that man. So
he seemed to be, but all that shit, it
looks too much frills.
Too much frills. Like, something, it's all a hologram. The shit ain't real. Something ain't right. Something is not right. He is not, oh, no, I had to leave and become the man you wanted me to be.
That's
you
right.
always believed I could be. That's why. Now I'm ready.
Now I'm ready.
I can, oh, I bought up this whole restaurant. Yeah, just because I can. This is a pretty expensive restaurant, but I shut it down for you. So you just gonna leave? I'm gonna fly you with a helicopter around the city. All that, man, fuck all that, bro. Something ain't right. The nigga faking Jack. So be careful with Mecca.
You think so?
Yes, very so. So that's our power recap. Power Book 2, Son of Ghost, daughter of Tasha. I mean, son of Tasha, brother of Raina, grandson of a drunkard. Recap.
Not a drunkard.
We also watch Insecure. Oh, the business is picking up Insecure. I was feeling bad about this season. I mean, I don't know if that was episode 8 or 7 or 8, but it's almost, we only got a couple more episodes to go and the shit is over with. So, but this episode, they was having a party for Tiffany and her husband.
They're
moving to Colorado, to Denver. So they was having a party, and you know all the people talk about going. So they show up at the party. Issa and Nate with a struggle beard. All the cast of friends, you know, all of them. Then Lawrence and Condoleezza show up with the baby. You know, sent to the party. So this is the first time Issa seen goddamn Lawrence since the motherfucking her, you know.
Well, she saw him at the hospital in passing.
Well, yeah, okay, in person, close up. They at the party, so you know it was kind of weird. She was staring off in space, and you know Nate picked up the vibes, like, oh, that's him. So after that, Nate was in a chest bumping contest with this nigga. They started talking about barbecue, but it was a euphemism for her, and so you know they was up there. It was just tense with them. And then, you know, Issa and Lawrence had a moment where they were speaking to each other. And, you know, because Nate, what did he get mad about?
He walked up at the end and said, what this is.
Yeah, he walked up and he's like, well, I'm talking to her. And they get to pushing each other and everything.
They
and,
about
to
brawl.
Yeah, they about to fight and everything, you know, in the middle of the party. And so Nate just
But the thing that wasn't fair.
What wasn't fair?
Was the fact that Lawrence knew. He had feelings for the girl. She called you in her little state of being high, hanging with the girls thing, and hung up or whatever. Y'all didn't talk that night. You claimed this was a month prior than from the event where you saw her with the party. You took it upon yourself, knowing she was there with her new boyfriend, mm-hmm. to tell her that you love her, to tell her that you wanted to fight for y'all relationship. That was not the place nor the time. The shit was not cool. Because if you really
once Buddy
wanted,
said we moving in and shit, you knew like
I need to act.
Yeah.
And that's really what triggered you. Mm-hmm. Is the fact that the girl the
Why
boy
she was
said,
calling me last Monday and you about to move in with this nigga.
Yeah.
It was ego then.
It was, but at the same time, she could have been asking him. She that could have been the reason what motivated her to say, I gotta move on. Cause hell, the nigga if you saw you had a missed call from me, you ain't called me. So if I was looking at it like I need to make sure this is over for real before
I
move on.
Day.
Yeah, you still could call the next day. Shit, people do a whole lot of things. So y'all didn't have that communication till y'all got to the event and he had to tell her all of this stuff. And I could tell that she had to process it because if you really was over him, it wouldn't have been no processing to be done. It would have just been like, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but it's a little too late and I've moved on. You couldn't say that because you haven't moved on. And I know that a lot of times, people do that, men and women. You already know it's loose end somewhere, and you feel like as long as that person ain't committing to nobody else, they just doing whatever, you can continue doing what you're doing. But then when you realize, at this point, I got to make a choice, and the choice is whatever, you done go on and fuck up somebody else's situation, because now it wasn't nothing for me to do but to move in with this man. Now I got to figure out, do I want to be stepmama to your child and all this other shit? That's not fair. Mm. Like, if you really care about somebody, you wouldn't jam them up like that. Because if you really wanted her, you should have wanted her.
But when she the one, she dumped him, remember? When she got back, she was just like,
yo. Yeah, but that had a lot to do with him and this baby mama situation.
I get it. So that's you dumped me. But when, you know, like I said, you initiated the next call. I didn't fuck. I was living my life in my own Marvel universe, not bothering nobody, dealing with my timeline. Then all of a sudden, you come interrupt my timeline with your phone call. And now,
no.
Everything, yes, that's what happened.
That phone call didn't change anything.
It did when change something.
When his homeboy said something to him like, oh, I would have never, you didn't fight for her, or I would have never let that go down. You know me, I'm the number one person.
What reignited that flame, though, when that phone call?
It did not, because if it reignited it, that thing would have been lit when the first time you had an opportunity to communicate with her. So as soon as you ain't with that baby and that lady all the time. So you could have easily said at my lunch break or whatever, hey, I just was thinking about you. I saw you call the other day. You know, what's good? Y'all could have had that conversation within days, a couple of days of that happening. You didn't. When your homeboy sparked it up in your mind, like, you didn't try hard enough. And then he realized, like, no, I didn't put no effort in it because of the fact that He didn't reach out. He didn't do those things for somebody who say they want to be with him. And if he could say those words, it wasn't just, oh, I want to fuck up what you got going on, I hope. It was the fact that he said, I'm not happy if I'm not with you or something like that. I ain't living my life right or whatever the case may be. Yeah, if I ain't with you.
He sauced it up.
So when you say something like that, because you know me, I'm all about the fight for me. So if you fight for me, I might hear some shit you saying. But it's like,
but it might not be the right shit.
It might not be. I'm just saying, like, in that situation, had he done that weeks prior, it would have probably made more of an impact.
So in that situation, who you picking? You picking Lawrence. Nigga with the baby or the nigga that's not Lawrence. Mentally stable.
Okay. And it ain't even about his mentally his instability. It's more so the fact that I don't think she really loved him.
She don't. He's a rebound nigga.
Yeah, so that's
like,
my thing. It's
she
like,
jumped in too quick. Like, she didn't let it, she didn't take time. But I guess the way they see it, like, man, you the one been playing. Maybe it was a long time they were playing around. Because she did have a little hoe phase where she was, like, letting the
big
nigga
But they never
hit.
Had sex.
Who? Well, she was fucking other niggas, though.
She was fucking other niggas, but yeah. She wasn't fucking Nathan.
Yeah, she wasn't fucking Nathan. You know what I'm saying? So, who knows, bro?
I mean, Nathan was a good guy, so maybe she might want to be with him. She probably would choose to be with Nathan simply because it's like you got too much history, like, bad stuff with Lawrence, and if you really don't have the mindset to say, I'm gonna be somebody stepmama, you don't need to do that, because that child is gonna be a major part of y'all relationship. Yeah. So if you can't stand that lady and you can't see yourself to get through to all of that, then Lawrence ain't the person.
It's not. And then Molly and her partner at work
are getting it in.
He made partner, and so now it was real awkward because she hugged him in front of everybody else, and so that kind of threw off the scenes that they were screwing. So,
but they wasn't.
Well, there was something going on. And
they like each other, but they wasn't doing
that
shit.
Yeah, but, you know, it's unprofessional. You know what
I'm
saying?
Not really.
It is. They going to look at her like, oh, now you're sleeping with a partner. You're trying to get, you know, so it's not, you can't be on two different levels. You can't really be messing around like that. So that was that. That was about it for the episode of Insecure. It was a way better episode than the previous ones. It was pretty damn good. So I'm enjoying it. That's all for TV talk. You know what I'm saying? We'll cut it down.
That's all we got.
I mean, yeah, we finished Swagger first season. You know, we watched it on Apple TV. It was pretty good. Pretty good show. You know what I'm saying? Jace Carter, the number one player in the nation, whatever he says, in the DMV. So shout out to him. Shout out to Ice Cube, son. He did his thing in that. Sometimes the acting roles were a little. But COVID played a big part. They all had the mask on. That shit was funny.
Yeah.
That shit was funny. Like, that shit is nuts. Like, how shows change with the times. And
yeah, some people.
You watch some shows,
mask,
like,
people.
Judge shows, they got masks on and the little precautions and everything. That shit crazy. Well, enough about the professionals. It's time for us amateurs. It's Queen Germ's favorite segment. It's bad. Black cinema. Bad Black Cinema, or the BBC as we like to call it around here, is with me and Queen Germ. who, for the record, are not classically trained actors. We did not study at Juilliard. We did not take acting classes. Hell, we ain't got SAG cards. But we do this improv for you guys every week. And this one goes a little something like this. Girl asks guy for Christmas gift. So I'm set the scene for you, Queen Germ. This is a girl. She's looking for a sucker on her list. And she sees Stanley. Stanley is a A1 sucker. And she trying to squeeze the juice out of Stanley. Are you ready, Queen Germ?
I guess so.
All right, here we go. Action.
Hey, Stanley, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I mean, it's funny, you know, it's funny you called me, man. I ain't heard from you. I gave you my number like 3 weeks ago. But hey, how you doing? Glad you called. What's going on?
I mean, I ain't trying to press you or nothing. What you got going on for the week?
I mean, you know, same old, you know, just nothing really. I mean, it's fantasy football playoffs with me and some of my guys, but, you know, nothing.
You
else.
Got plans for Christmas?
Nah, not really. I mean, we're off. I mean, I was just going to, you know, sit around, maybe watch football. You know, I don't know.
You want to come over to my house and
come we over? Haven't,
no, oh. we haven't a Christmas gathering.
Okay, that's what's up.
So it'll be some family members. My son and daughter will be there.
Son, okay, that's what's up. All right. I mean, thanks for the invite. Let me check my schedule. I mean, no, I don't know why I'm checking my schedule. I ain't got nothing to do. That's cool. I'll be there. I mean, do I need to bring anything or... You know, anything like that? Or, I mean, if it's a party, I mean, I don't want to come empty-handed or nothing, you know?
I mean, you can always bring us a couple of gifts, you know? We all like gifts. It's Christmas.
Okay. I mean, that's cool. Like house gifts? Like, what are you talking about here?
I mean, it's whatever you want to do. I mean, I got kids. They more important than I am.
Oh, you want to buy your kids some gifts? Oh, okay. I mean, like... I don't see nothing wrong. I mean, I probably could do it. I mean, it's nothing wrong with that, man. I mean, you know, all kids need Christmas, man. So, you know, I mean, I can get them a little gift or something. That's no problem, man. You know, just let me know what I need to get them. And, you know, I make sure they get it, man. I bring it on my way over there. Man, just...
Well, my son wears a size 11 shoe.
Oh, that's men's. A big kid, man. 11 shoe. Okay, yeah. I mean, you know, any shoe, it don't matter?
No, like, it matters.
Okay, like what?
It's some new J's just dropped.
Oh, wow. J's, what's that?
Jordans?
Oh, Michael Jordan shoes. Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Cool. So size 11.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. That's fine.
And my daughter, she probably just wants some Beats headphones.
Beats headphones. Okay. So Beats headphones and some Jordans.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, you know, okay. That's cool. I mean, like I said, I'm thankful for giving me give me a call, man. You know, I was just sitting around here. I was wondering when you was going to call.
What you mean?
Because, you know, I see you at work, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just pass by me and stuff, and, you know.
But you don't say nothing to me.
I put the ball in your court. You know, I gave you
but
my
you
number.
You still speak.
I speak.
You can speak in person. Sometimes I don't have to call you.
But sometimes I spoke to you the other day when you was in front of Brad and them. And you had like, you know, I was bothering you or whatever like that. So, you know, you kind of, you know, played me to the left. But it's like when you need some lunch or something, you'll come ask me for it. And then, you know, I'm always giving you. I'll never tell you no. I've never told you no, have I? Have I?
No, I don't think so.
The time you needed to rent the bounce house for your son party, I came through with that. You know, you told me about your little issues or whatever, something happened with your Cash App card, whatever you said, you know what I'm saying? But, I told you don't need to give me that money back, you know what I'm saying? And me, it's cool, because, you know, like I said, you know, I always help you out. So don't treat me like that in front of the people at work, the coworkers.
But what do you want me to do? You want me to sit up in your lap? You
I mean,
want me to
no,
hug
that,
you?
That'd be inappropriate.
Okay,
I mean,
so what are you talking
just
about?
Just treat me like a human sometimes.
I am treating you like a human.
I mean, sometimes I just think you come over here, punch four numbers, and that's just how I feel. I don't mind. I mean, I don't have any kids. I have disposable income. You know what I'm saying? I don't do nothing with my money, man. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't bother me, but it's just that.
I mean, it bothers me that you think that I'm just using you.
I mean, but that's what it seems like. Every time, listen, not
but
the
you
same.
Don't enjoy hanging out with me?
Okay. This is what I'm saying. Most of the time we get to hang out is followed by you asking for something. You see what I'm saying? We don't hang out until you need something. Like I said, I don't mind. I consider me helping you out. It's cool. I don't, like I said, it's not an issue. But
it's not an issue, but you bring it
I just
up.
Want you to.
You done itemized our whole
I'm not saying itemized. I just
you
started.
You done said, I helped you with this.
But when I speak to you at work, like right now, we talking all in the corners behind the job and stuff. Why we couldn't have this conversation near the office? I mean, it's nothing. You talked to other guys about that. Like, I know you were sleeping with the other guy.
What?
Yeah, I knew about it. You know what I'm saying?
What?
He was bragging about
Dude,
it.
Dude, come
I didn't
on.
Say nothing
come
about
on.
That. So don't tell me it's about the job.
Don't play on
it's
me.
It's about me.
No, it's not.
It's about me. Cut.
This nigga tried to call me out. I was like, oh, I know you slept with him. Really?
Oh, man. Bad Black Cinema, y'all, man. If you got any situations you want to see us act out, send them in,
just
man.
Just get my turn, them gifts, child.
Stanley said he going to do it. He always do it, man. Stanley's a super simp. He's a Goku level 9,000 simp. He done went God level simp. That nigga, this is flaming gold hair simp. So, it's time to read some rap lyrics, y'all. Now, listen, let me tell y'all. We take some lyrics here and we read them. But the gimmick is we read them in another kind of voice, office voice, professional voice, you know, whatever kind of voice you do. Maybe an accent. Queen Jern spiced it up on the last time she did one. So, hey, we don't know what she's going to do this time, but this is her time to read. And it's time to read some rap lyrics. Let me tell y'all something real quick before we get into this. B-Eazy said he hates this segment of the show. He said for some reason, because sometimes lyrics are longer than others and it runs over. He has to do all this. But look, man, we're going to keep doing it because the people like it and B-Eazy hates it. And we're getting close to 500.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, Queen Jerm, are you ready?
I'm going to try to be.
There we go. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I'm hot. Nigga, they say I'm burning up. Me, the rare nigga, I'm finna turn it up. Add the fire, it to the flame. Who mentioned Bankhead didn't say my name? I'm Mr. Gotham for the L-O. Learn the recipe. Gave it to the other fella. As Pony, Marlo, Hero, D-Lo, Auto, Shino, Hino. I been had cash. Oh Lord, I done found my swag. Nigga say he from the west side. Well, goddamn, it must be two sides.
Hey! That was the legend, Shawty L-O. With his smash hit, Dun Dun. And let me tell y'all a little story about Dun Dun, about Shorty Low. Y'all might laugh and say T.I. won that battle, but T.I. didn't win that battle because everybody from Bankhead knew who was really from Bankhead and who wasn't. And let's just say, a nigga had to squash that beef with Shorty Low because there was no way he could win that battle when everybody in the streets knew. There was no blemishes on Shorty Low record. You might have out-rapped a nigga, but you weren't going to out-street Shorty Low. Especially not when you using his cars in your video, your early videos. Huh? How you going to shit on that man? But hey, you know, that's how they do it in the game. It's HBCU confession time. HBCU confessions, when I go to their confessional Twitter, grab some tweets, bring them home and rub them on Queen Germ. And this one goes a little something like this. This nigga kicked me out of his place because I wouldn't give him the box. Why are men like this? Claflin, Queen Jern, react.
Your ass shouldn't have been there. If you came over, that's what we doing. Like, you got to know that's what we committing to.
Hold on. No. You told me to come over and watch this movie.
Okay, and while watching the movie, before or after... During
this movie is about the struggle of two African American teens at doing a spelling bee.
Okay, and I don't.
How the hell your dick get hard, nigga?
Panties off. I don't.
How? Like what's going on?
Because
here?
I already knew what you came here to but do. You don't come over here to look at no movie. That's cold word.
That's not cold
it
word.
Is. It's cold.
That's
word.
What you said.
The Bible says a hint to the wise is sufficient.
Well, so I ain't read the Bible.
I'm gonna tell you like this. You don't go over after business hours to nobody's house if you ain't planning on spreading the cheese. I need you to understand that's what's happening over there.
But I came under the guise of we was just Netflixing and chilling.
Okay, we finna chill, all right.
We done drank a bottle of wine
and
watching this
and
movie.
And that's the reason why the dick hard.
Why is your hands on me? Like, that's ma'am, why the dick like, hard. Ma'am, like, ma'am, why is your, like, ma'am, put your hands back over there.
Pull it out.
No, see, ma'am, that.
Pull it out. Go on here. That's why I'm over here. So look, I'm trying to
ladies, be careful. Listen to the wording.
And you better be glad he put your ass out. Because what he could have did, he could have just took it.
He could have. So
you signed up for some shit that you didn't know you signed up for. So be talking about why he like that. Be glad he put you out.
Women entitled now. They entitled. They think like they want it to be the old ways without being the old days. And you can't have that. So, you know what I'm saying? You got to be accepting that niggas ain't going to be as goddamn, what's that word?
Chivalrous
as they have in past decades because...
No, they're not.
They're not.
Y'all got people getting cased up over some bullshit sometimes. Like, now, some shit is justified,
like, but... Like, I saw a post on Twitter where women was like, yo, when they go on a date, they don't even look at the bill. They like, nigga, please. Like, you... I'm like, damn. Like, what the fuck? Like, you can't never pay? My man better not ever ask me. I asked for a divorce if he asked me to pay for a meal. Like, what?
That's what they say now.
Them niggas, man. See, that's the problem. Don't listen to the... Like I said, I was talking to Uncle Dolomite. Shout out to Uncle Dolomite, man. Me and him talking on the phone for a good minute tonight. That nigga said, black feminists... He said the word right there don't make no motherfucking sense. He said because a feminist is somebody who's against the male race, right? So how are you a black feminist? Like, you just against black men? No other race say they against... No other Asian women go out there talk about, oh... I'm an independent woman. No, they don't say that shit. Ain't no white independent women. Ain't no China, whatever. No, we the only ones that do that. And it's that fucking bullshit.
No, it's just the fact
that... It's the programming. Just like I thought Kwanzaa wasn't shit. It's the programming.
It is the programming, but the biggest part about it is the fact that we've been through things and people want to feel liberated, but they don't know how to do that.
But
in
we
got to
liberate
fashion.
Together. We can't separately liberate. And women don't understand. They are already in charge. Like, they let the white men... Black women... When have any household not been centered around the black woman? For generations.
They
want
to be us, but they don't want to help us. They don't want us to have nothing.
Nah, man. It ain't like that.
It is. They idolize us from head to toe. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
You bring something to the table.
No other women, race of woman gets idolized like the black women do in their community. The white women, they don't give a fuck about the white mama. Shut up, mom. Shut the fuck up. They don't.
Why? Because black women ain't finna let their
exactly. Asian mamas don't get those. It's not like that. It's like black moms get, they the number one on the totem pole out of all the respect levels for the other. It's the black women is on top. Hands down. For generations, centuries, we had black queens in a time where they ain't let no queens happen. No, across the world, this is our civilization because we always been above the motherfucking goddamn curve. So, you know, don't fall for the propaganda, people. Don't fall for it, man. Keep it 100 time, Queen Jerm. You got to keep it 100.
Yes. My keep it 100 this week is you got all the tea. Because you ain't got no juice.
100.
That's for all y'all gossiping ass people out there in these streets that ain't got no damn business of your own, but you always running around here spilling
news
tea
reporters,
about other
what
people.
I call them. News exactly. reporters.
But you ain't got nothing. You ain't got no juice. You ain't got no sauce. You ain't got no business of your own, so therefore you always running around here telling other people shit. Mm. So in 2022, I know we ain't got there yet, but y'all fall back and do you and stop minding other people's business.
Yeah. Get you some business. Mind, get you something to mind. Yeah. Stay out of people fucking business. But don't tell people your goddamn business then. How about that? That's a double-edged sword. Just stop telling people your business.
But don't be digging for shit either.
I mean, niggas dig. Let them dig. But nigga, I'm not telling you shit. Do your motherfucking Googles, nigga. You want to be a goddamn detective? You private eye ass nigga? Well, do some goddamn work. My keep it 100 like this, man. You can go too far sometime.
100.
All right? So, when you get in a disagreement with people, it is a line you should never cross. Because that's why I try not to argue when I'm angry. Because when you're angry, you say stupid shit, you just say shit, and you can't take back because you said it. So, that's why, yeah, I'm not going to argue when I'm angry because I can't process my thoughts and say what I want to say and let it come out in a respectful manner and all that, so I don't. Because once you get into beef and arguments with niggas and you start saying all kinds of shit and you say some shit and disrespectful shit, whatever like that, you can't take that shit back. And then certain shit that you say is just fucking out of line.
It changes the course of everything.
Yeah, it changes everything. And then once I start seeing a pattern of you doing this, I got to just notice, like, this is how you are. It's not like you can't just apologize after doing some foul shit and just be like, man, I apologize. And no, it's not, because the damage is still done. Just because I ran into your house with my car, you still got a hole in your fucking house from my car, ran into your goddamn house. I said, I'm sorry, but nigga, every time you go to sleep at night, you got a tarp over your goddamn house because I ran my fucking car into your house. I said, I'm sorry, though. That don't change the fact.
That don't change
the
nothing.
Goddamn, you worrying about motherfucking the nature coming in your goddamn house, but still.
Not the nature.
Yeah. So people, just because you apologize don't mean shit. You know what I'm saying? You can't move a certain way more than one time and me not think that's just how you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then you can't choose the nuclear option every time you pissed off. Sometimes you got to let shit slide. Sometimes you got to think shit through. Sometimes, and then at the end of the day, when you do hit the nuclear option, you got to hold yourself accountable.
And be okay with the shit that come out of that after that. Because the same way you chose that button, you chose to go through that way.
Yeah.
Then how you, people choose to deal with you after that is okay.
Sometimes
too
you got
to
understand some people on that different time. You can say some shit about some niggas and then the niggas be like, yo, like, I'm not with that shit. Like, I'm not one of these internet niggas. I'm like, you know, cause niggas be real funny when shit be in 4K. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's funny when it's online, it's funny when it's cross seas or whatever, but when that shit right there facing you, it's a whole different ball game, and some niggas don't play about that shit. So this goes out to a lot of niggas, but black youngster, you around here playing stupid games, you gonna fuck around, win stupid prizes. Like, nigga, you bringing the wrong kind of energy around yourself. Shooting videos on niggas' graves. Not his grave, but a grave of somebody with his same last name. Putting diss songs out about. Be careful, nigga. Just be careful, black youngster.
Yeah, y'all wildin'.
Yeah, this ain't a safe game for rappers. You don't want to be that next rapper. The goddamn,
they ain't having no problems finding y'all, apparently.
Y'all rappers is getting touched, nigga. So y'all niggas might need to start reevaluating y'all selves and the way y'all move. Like, that energy only comes to niggas that put that energy out there. Chance the Rapper ain't getting pressed, nigga. Like, goddamn, J. Cole ain't getting pressed. Kendrick ain't getting pressed. Like, these certain rappers that move a certain way ain't getting pressed. But y'all rappers that are moving a certain way, y'all getting pressed. So y'all need to reevaluate y'all, the energy y'all putting out there. I use that buzzword, energy. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's my keeping 100, man. Winner or loser time, Queen Jeremy. Got any winners? Got any winners?
Oh, yeah. This here winner that I have is a two-time winner.
Mm.
And this young man, he's 11 years old. His name is Devon Johnson. So you already know I like him. Last name Johnson.
Winner.
And this was...
I thought it because his name was Devon.
Well, that too.
Devin.
He's really cute. Cute little fella.
Oh, that's sixth pedophilia. Grader.
No. If a
man said that, like, oh, that's an attractive little girl.
No, I didn't say attractive. That's not what I said. Cute.
What would be the equivalent
cute
for a little girl?
Cute is like a teddy bear. Cute. It's still cute.
So, oh, that's a cute little girl right there. I can't say that.
I mean, y'all say you can't say that.
I'm just trying to derail you. Y'all just trying to derail
you. You trying to get on my nerves. But nonetheless, this young man is a sixth grader. And he's in Oklahoma. He's looked at as a hero now. His name is Devon Johnson. And the reason why he's a hero is because he saved the life of a choking classmate and an elderly woman from a fire. Two separate incidents
this
on the same day. This baby is 11 years old. And I got to say,
Luke
Devon
Cage,
Johnson
nigga.
Is my winner this week.
This nigga a mutant, nigga.
So y'all better buy that boy everything he want for Christmas over there in Oklahoma. That boy better not want for nothing.
They gonna get that nigga tickets to a Thunder game and call it a Dundotta.
But
he
that's
get to
winner.
Meet whoever play for the Thunder. Who I don't know who plays for the Thunder.
I mean, he looks like a little good kid.
Oh yeah, he bad. Yeah.
He ain't bad. He just like he be around his grandma all the time.
Yeah, exactly. He know all the Marvin C songs. That nigga ran and singing Candy Liquor to the girls and shit like that.
Oh Lord,
he don't know what he talking about. My winner is all the people that's on the nice list this year.
Winner.
So if you've been good this year,
or good,
you've been doing, good at it, and you getting that nice Christmas gift, hey, shout out to y'all. Also, shout out to the people on the naughty list. All y'all that been bad, that's going to get them lumps of coal or them lumps on your head for Christmas. Either way, whichever comes first, we do not promote domestic violence on
any
the broadcast.
Kind of
any kind of violence, no. Oh, namaste. Umoja. Anaya.
And I don't think that's what it was. It's just Naya. Nia.
Nia. So, yes. All my winners are the people that's on the nice list. So, all y'all girls have been good this year. All y'all boys been keeping up with y'all sugar mama. Miss Kathy and all that, or whatever their name is. Miss Linda. Oh, you getting that good PS5 love.
If you got to put miss in front of the people.
Getting the bill paid, girls. You ahead of your bills for 2022 because Mr. Larry done came by there. You know what I'm saying? You been hit old Stanley up. Stanley got you right.
Stanley got them kids.
Got you saving some money.
Don't buy me nothing. Just get something
get for my babies. I keep the magic going. You got any losers, Queen Jern?
Oh, yeah. My loser this week is got to be Summer Walker.
Loser.
I'm not a fan of the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? You want to be out here calling out your baby daddy, but you laid up with the man that had a child from him, so he can't be so bad. You want to talk about London on the tracks, talking about his parenting, and they don't need him. The child got a daddy over here.
Only black women do that.
Already, and all this other bullshit. I mean, people need to realize that shit is dumb. It is. First of all, the man got your child. So if he got visitation and he was spending time with the kid and decided he wanted to post a couple of pictures on social media, you talking about he doing it for clout. Who the fuck cares? I mean, if your child come home with some new shoes and some new shit, yeah, you could buy the kid all the things that this man just posted online. But it doesn't matter. The child is spending time with the daddy. The daddy is having a good time showing off their baby. It shouldn't be no issue. So you do what you do for the weekend. Let the man get whatever clout that he getting for showing off the kid and live your life. Because if you really as happy as you claim you are with the nigga that you with, that shouldn't have moved you.
Exactly.
So therefore, you my loser, Summer Walker, for trying to out your baby daddy, trying to act like he ain't shit. Because to me, either you still like him or you're hating on some shit he doing simply because of the fact that you had to make mention to this man on your social media. So do better, co-parent, and stop with the bullshit.
Man, my loser, man, is the Jackson State University Tigers.
Loser.
So, they were 11-1 coming to the Celebration Bowl. They were facing the 6-5 South Carolina State Bulldogs. Shout out to 12 Cal. And, you know, just like most of the people in the nation, this was one of the highest rated watch football games in a while on ABC. Especially, it was maybe the most highest-rated HBCU Celebration Bowl ever. Well, maybe since them Aggies was there, some shit like that. Who knows? I mean, I could be lying. Who knows? But anyway, the nation had wrote the South Carolina State Bulldogs off because they was playing Deion and his big-time team. And there was no way this team could win. They only had 6 wins. But somehow, some way, South Carolina State kicked Deion them ass. I think it was like 31-10. Beat the brakes off them boys. National TV. The moment was too big. They had piss running down their leg. I mean, it just was bad. Deion, I mean, I don't know. Did they believe the hype that week? Did somebody get to Shador? Because he had his freshman moment, a bad game. He was throwing picks, turning the ball over. Must have been a lot of double toppy that week for him in Atlanta. The Jackson State, they must have partied that whole week thinking they were just going to walk over them boys. But South Carolina State said, oh, no. It's not going to happen. But I also blame MJ because he jumped on the Jackson State bandwagon, and then look what happened. They lose in the big moment because MJ is a part of it. So just have to let you know, if MJ is a part of your team, it will crumble, just so you know. But Jackson State, y'all my losers for losing the big game. And then, FAMU, y'all going to catch a little bit of my loser because the last rankings of the HBCU football teams came out, and they had FAMU number one, South Carolina State 2, and, like, Jackson State 3. And I'm just like, but South Carolina State won the – y'all always called the champion of that game the champion. So now y'all saying – so now FAMU saying, but we number one, but y'all don't have no trophy. So we got the trophy in – well, not we. They got the trophy in Orangeburg. Y'all ain't got the trophy. So y'all can have the number one ranking. We got the trophy. So, yeah. So that's all my losers. Well, Queen Jern, I'm not gonna say, I'm not gonna really act up kind of crazy about this, but doing a forecast in the morning, recording in the morning was kind of different. You know what I'm saying? The energy was a little different. You know, I feel more sprightly, awake, and everything. It's not like the whole day coming down on me and nothing like that. So it was kind of different. So I gotta ask, do you have any shout outs?
And you know I do. I want to shout out Pam and the fam, the Johnson 5, the Lunch Crew, the Front Porch, and my girl KY No Jelly, and anybody that's representing the 912. That's Savannah, Georgia, y'all. I represent my city, nigga.
My little shout-outs go a little something like this. Shout-out to Be Easy, Saw Right, GQ Blue, Short T.
Short T.
Rule of Myself, Rick James, bitch. RT3, my nigga J. Will. Light skin Kanye, Drew from DC, Gerard from Boston, Oh, Gerard from Boston said, yo, you shitting on the anime nerd niggas. They was like, yo, you hurt his feelings and shit.
When I said what?
You said you said anime niggas is corny or something.
They weird as fuck.
Yeah, she said you was shitting on them niggas, so.
I mean, I don't think we had, did we have that conversation somewhere?
We was talking about niggas that watch anime. You was
yeah,
like,
they weird if they grown. Yeah. That's for kids, but go ahead. I mean, I stand by what I say.
Yeah.
But I still like you, sir.
Shout out to Statics, Mad Static, Stacks, MJ Money 9S, H2O, throwback shout out. VG, throwback shout out. DJLP, throwback shout out. SBK, another throwback shout out. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to all the podcasters. Fuck with us. 12 Cow Podcast, Eclectic, and the Eclectic Discussion Podcast. My niggas Pork and Big L, the Cool Out Corner Podcast. Corey Dos Equis, I'm Something Else, Power Lunch Hour. And what else we got? Any other podcast fuck with us? Dolomite, Too Much Game. Anybody else to fuck with us the long way? Oh, oh my God, I'm stammering it now. My shout out list is coming out wrong. But we got everybody off that site, Fuck With Kid, Doc Claw, All the Gang, Amazing AP, Sleazy the Black Farmer, Dragon Lady, Papa Dash, Daughter Dash, anybody else to fuck with us the long way, the short way, no way at all. Shout out to y'all, man. Well, it's Christmas, Queen Germ. It's time to rate your show.
Well, due to the fact that I love, love, love this time of year, and I love, love, love the people that I'm sharing it with every year, family and friends and all that good stuff, it ain't about the gifts for me. It is definitely all about the fellowship because I'm a grown-up, and I do stand by the fact that Christmas is for kids. Mm. This episode has to be rated a 12.25.
Well, considering the day when I became a Grinch, it was because of the specific Jordan, specific Jordan shoe. It was a Jordan 9, so I'm going to give the show a 9.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, all the shout-outs of the way, Queen Jern. We did our ranking. It's time to tell these people, thank y'all for listening to the Frocast. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, comment on it. Please give us a rating on Spotify. I'm going to start whoring myself for ratings now on Spotify. Don't forget about voicemail at 347-201-2572. Call the voicemail. We'll play it. Don't forget about our Patreon. We joined for as little as a dollar. And don't forget to buy a motherfucking shirt, bitch. Simple. Well, Merry Christmas to all y'all motherfuckers
Merry
out there.
Cromo.
We appreciate y'all spending the year with us, man.
Hope we got one more.
Got y'all one more show for the year over with. Yeah, we'll get one more in there. We'll slide one more in there on y'all. But we want to hope y'all have a nice, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever you celebrate. We don't give a fuck because, you know, that's
Merry
your thing.
Christmas.
You know what I'm saying? Have fun. Drink plenty of eggnog. Be festive. Kiss that girl under that mistletoe.
I got one.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Roast some chestnuts on that fire. You know what I'm saying? Really put them chests on it. Put them nuts on that chest. Yes.
Yes.
Put them nuts on that wall.
Oh.
Get them chin nuts out there. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, all that Christmas shit. Whatever they say.
No, we don't go that way.
And don't waste money on wrapping paper. It's a fucking bullshit.
I love it.
It's the most bullshit. Like that's one of the markets you should have got in. Wrapping paper.
I should have.
Because a motherfucker has spent all that time wrapping it for a bitch to tear that shit up.
I got some two-sided wrapping paper this time.
I don't. You a two-sided scammed. And that's what it is.
I can wrap half of them on one side, half of them on the other side. It's two different rolls, baby.
So, on behalf of everybody in the Nappy Afro office, it's your boy King Jern.
And it's your girl Queen Jern.
And this is the Frocast, and we saying Merry Christmas to y'all niggas, and we'll be back next week. Peace.
Peace.
This is the end of the show. Feel free to visit nappyafro.com for more information. Or not. It's your loss.
Nappyafro.com